Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. When we think of modern opera, we think of names such as Puccini and Wagner and even Mozart. But opera, the way we know it, can trace its lineage back to the Venetian composer Claudio Monteverdi. Among Monteverdi's works are Orfeo and this weekend's program by the Florentine Opera, The Coronation of Poppea.
The production at Vogel Hall is on stage this weekend and next. And joining us at the Florentine Opera's rehearsal space in River West are stage director Robin Guarino, harpsichordist and conductor Jory Vinokur, and Grammy Award-winning tenor Karim Suleiman, who will sing the role of Emperor Nero, to talk about the production.
This opera is about relationships and power and ambition and politics, and it centers around the Emperor Nero and his complicated and unhappy relationship with his sister, stepsister, Ottavia, who is the Empress, and a series of his relationships, mainly in this story, Poppea. The reason it's relevant is because these are fully fleshed out human beings, and their naked wants and desires and ambitions are there for us to see. But I think also deep in the center of Poppea is the question of how do you live, how do you rule, and as is sort of focused on in the relationship between Nero and Seneca, where he says, you know, people just don't behave like this, and there are ethical principles, and there are rules, and they're there for a reason, and they ground and root the government. And Nero basically says, I make the rules, and then I break the rules, and I do whatever I want. And I think that there are relevancies that we can all, you know, think about in relationship to that. And then once he crosses the line and has, spoiler alert, Seneca assassinated, chaos has come again. And that's the sort of the beginning of the spiral out of Nero.
And this is the Nero fiddling while Rome burns.
Yes.
Yes. And so operatically, I mean, this is Monteverdi. It's very early in the Western canon. Is it one of the earliest, Jory?
Yeah, so the so-called Florentine Camerata, and from which this very opera company took its name nearly a century ago, the Florentine Camerata was a group of musicians, principally Monteverdi, Jacopo Peri, I think Giulio Caccini, discussing about how to bring together text and music in something which resembled the Greek classics. And as I recall, the very first so-called opera, and this didn't hold the name opera, but again, music, drama, wed together, was Peri's Eurydice and Monteverdi's Orfeo, which is wonderful. Karim toured the country singing the title role this past year. You know, this tells a mythological story. Poppea is the last of Monteverdi's surviving operas, and is partially unusual in that Monteverdi does not take mythological figures and mythological stories, but a very doctored version of Roman history, so involving the Emperor Nero, his courtesan wife Poppea, as well as the philosopher Seneca, who should have been the moral backbone of that rule.
You almost don't need the mythical figures. This is so...
No.
Almost mythic in all of the stuff that was
of
happening.
Course. Bigger
and the
than
relationship,
life.
Bigger than life.
Bigger
yeah.
than life persons.
And as we were doing the work through last night in the room, I was really taken by how vivid and in time the drama and the action were. I mean, people are so connected to the text, and it is as it's like contemporary drama. It's just so relevant, both stylistically and in terms of the drama and how riveting and scary you were, by the way, Karim.
So, yeah. Karim, do you feel that way at being in it, that this is like immediate and relevant?
Yeah, definitely. It's so real in a way. I think what Monteverdi does so well is, I mean, he just makes these characters so grounded in reality with his marriage of sound and text. And so these characters are insane. Don't get me wrong, but
But our lighting designer, Mary Eleanor Stebbins, said last night, you know, it's really interesting to watch the drama that's happening and then ask the question, is this real? Or are we seeing what someone else is thinking? Or are we seeing what they're feeling or thinking inside? And that, I think, is also Monteverdi's genius, is that at some points in the drama, you are watching their internal subtext and their emotional subtext, and it switches really seamlessly
and
from that.
And we think of that as being so contemporaneous, that that's what we do now, that that's a modern thing in right. theater and opera.
But
and
also,
here he was doing
but
it.
But also in reality, because sometimes, frankly, I turn on the news and I'm like, is this real? You know, so, you know,
true.
Like certain things are like, you don't even know anymore. And I think what this opera gets at is we don't really know. We only know at the moment how to act. And I think having power challenges how we use it, if that makes any
no,
sense.
No, totally. I was thinking of Clemenza di Tito, another great Mozart opera that takes place in Rome that really asks the questions, how does one lead? And how does one lead a country? And you know, what is the scaffolding for, you know, to contain behavior and, you know, the challenges of leading people?
Yeah, and I think something that I'm learning is that, you know, it's very complicated, you know, learning with this character. And I did a lot of reading and, you know, we were discussing how much of the actual history of Nero and his time in the Roman Empire do we use and all of that stuff. But in the reading that I was doing, it just became clear that he wasn't completely awful all the time. He was raised in an awful way. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're raised in an awful way with awful people around you and just awful things happening all the time, it's impossible not to then be very complicated and right. screwed up right.
and
as
certainly
you grow.
The version of Nero and Caligula and other rulers known to Renaissance Italy was a possibly exaggerated or heightened version of their decadence, but even the reality would have not been very flattering.
Yeah.
Right. You were doing Orfeo. Now, Orfeo was early. Was that the first? Is that considered
that
the first one?
That was his first one.
First
yeah.
one.
16,
and so,
16, was
that and we can
something.
We consider that the first modern Western opera, don't we?
It's certainly the first that's done with any regularity.
Yeah.
Today.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not the very first opera. Again, yeah. I think it's the Eurydice, which is same myth.
But it's arguably the best.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Of that time.
I mean, it might be the best one.
How many years between Orfeo and Poppea?
When nearly 30.
Yeah.
Musically, what is different for you singing? Because you've just sung the Orfeo and
yeah.
now you're singing Nero.
Poppea is a lot more recit.
And a lot more story-driven.
Enough. Yeah. I mean, Orfeo, you have an extended 8-minute aria that is very, like, melodic, florid, and beautiful. And there's nothing like that in Poppea. There's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of very direct delivery of text, which is also in Orfeo. It's in all of these things, but there is a real movement towards direct drama in Poppea.
Interesting. And yeah. in that 30 years, that changed?
I don't know that entirely changed. I think this is Monteverdi's viewpoint on telling a very current story and telling the mythological one. And possibly the 8-minute aria that Karim is evoking is this Possente Spirite. Mm. So when Orpheus descends into the underworld to plead for Eurydice, and it's even more fascinating than he just said, not only florid and complicated, but each verse accompanied by different instruments. So there's a pair of cornetti at one point with their own extraordinary writing. There's a triple harp during another verse. There's a pair of violins in one. So all of this is so incredibly novel. And by the time he gets to Poppea, the novelty of opera was a little bit less, and he could concentrate on the storytelling. And yet we have incredibly melodic moments.
Oh, sure. For sure. I didn't mean to say like there's nothing like that,
no.
but you're not going to get an 8-minute aria in this piece.
No.
So.
I was going to say, what we're about to hear is what? Only a couple of minutes long.
Yeah, if that, yeah. yeah. Or maybe, yeah, maybe a couple
so,
minutes.
You know, I don't know if I'm just being difficult, as I always like to do. In fact, Poppea really does start with an 8-minute aria for Ottone, for the character of Ottone, who comes back. We snip it down to size a little bit, but the full thing
would have been 8 minutes.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, but you don't get to sing that because that's not your
No,
part.
So who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. It's very beautifully sung by Nicholas Tamayo.
No, but I wanted to just say, I think the version that we're doing, Thank You, Yori, is just beautiful.
It is.
And it's very special and has its debut at the Florentine. Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has their own version of this. Very few theaters can afford to present Popea absolutely complete with no cuts. And it's very unclear what that version is.
The urtext of that, yeah. I mean,
very,
exactly.
Very difficult. I mean, we have these books with hundreds of pages of appendix to indicate these. So with the great help of Stephen Stubbs, wonderful conductor, the oboe player, I have done other changes and edits to our version.
You made your version of it.
Kind of, sort of,
yeah,
yes.
Kind of, sort of. Well, let's hear some music. And Kareem, would you tell me what we're about to hear, where you are, who you're singing to?
Sure. It's called Son Rubin Amorosi, which means, I mean, he says in the first line, your lips are like precious rubies. And it's Nero singing to his favorite court poet, Lucano. And they've just had an incredible florid duet of two tenors. It's definitely suggestive, homoerotic, and Nero then sings this piece with Lucano on stage, and it is unclear if he's singing to Popea or to Lucano at that point.
It should be said that it starts Act Two.
After the death of
Seneca.
Yes.
So it comes out of a rousing dance number.
It does. So Robin wrote to me months and months ago saying, do you have an idea for a wonderful instrumental piece that could precede the Lucano Nero scene? And I thought of a wonderful Ciacconna for two violins by Tarquinio Merula, just probably a decade at the most after this opera.
So you merged
that
in.
We have some carousing going about during this Ciacconna, some drunken reveling. And I think I'm not ruining anything just to say that of the drunken reveling, Lucano, played by Nick Huff, comes out the winner for the moment in this and then ends up singing with Nero.
Then let's hear it.
Con rudini amorosi tuoi labbri preziosi, il mio cuore costante di saldo diamante, così, così le tue bellezze il mio cuore. Care di care gemme ha fabbricato amore, di care gemme ha fabbricato amore. Con rose senza spine le guance tue divine, ciglie ligustri eccede, eccede il candor di mia fede. Così tra il tuo bel viso ed il mio cuore la primavera sua divide amore, la primavera sua, la primavera sua divide amore, divide amore, divide amore.
Thank you. one of the things that I love about Baroque singing, the tone tends to be, to my ear, rounder and less, maybe less vibrato.
Well, I think what this music gives us as interpreters is the ability to choose how to use our voice, which is, there's a lot in the text that can dictate to us as actors then what colors we can bring out. And I think vibrato, you know, if you have the technique to control your vibrato and to make it less or make it more, if you have the ability to do that, then the magic that we can make is to then paint different colors with the score. And I think that that's what makes this music so interesting. That's what makes then these dramas so interesting, is that it becomes less about our voices and more about storytelling.
This is not my first time together working with Karim. And interestingly enough, we worked together on a world premiere of a new American opera at Houston Grand Opera, where he was an opera about the Rothko Chapel by the composer Laura Kaminsky. Totally different from this.
Very
completely different.
Completely different. But I think the two of us really live in between, you know, the 21st century and, you know, the 17th century.
Yes.
And the same thing you were able to do communicating the text with your amazing full spectrum of color toolbox, you know, and what you're able to bring in to the words and communicating to the words is fantastic.
Well, thanks. But I think, thank you. but I think what makes it also interesting is to be able to do something different with what these composers, I mean, these are masterpieces. And I think that if you bring a mind to it to really bring things to life, then it's there for us to do, you know?
Well, yeah,
and it's exciting to use, for me, it's exciting to use my voice as that kind of instrument and not as just something to be like, listen to how great I sound, which is also amazing to go to something like La Boheme and to hear a soprano sing Don Delieta and bring, every single time I see Boheme, I am in tears in Act Three. And that is another thing, you know, that's another thing that is so special about opera. But this is different, you know, and this is what I like to do.
The Florentine Opera's production of The Coronation of Poppea is on stage this Friday and Sunday and next Saturday and Sunday at Vogel Hall. We visited with stage director Robin Guarino, harpsichordist and conductor Jory Vinokur, and Grammy Award-winning tenor Karim Suleiman, who will sing the role of Emperor Nero. Jason Reavy produced our field recording.